Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Sean Eldridge, why are you running for Congress?
Well, if you look at what we've seen in Washington recently, with more of this brinkmanship, more of the games and party politics that are really hurting our economy and hurting middle-class families and not helping anyone, I'm frustrated. I know that we can do better than we're doing now. You know, there was a study that came out this week that showed that the political brinkmanship and uncertainty in Washington since 2010 has cost over 2 million jobs in the United States. I think that's unacceptable. I think we should be focused on common-sense solutions to grow our economy, create jobs, invest in our infrastructure, to train our students and our young people for the new economy, and get away from this very dangerous and painful cycle of political brinkmanship. You know, I'm running because I've spent my my career focused on growing our economy in the Hudson Valley, investing in small businesses, creating jobs, and making sure that our children have economic opportunity. That's what I've been focused on. I think that's what Congress should be focused on, and that's why I'm running.
Now, your opponent, Chris Gibson, is a man who a lot of people like. What's the argument? Why should we get rid of somebody we like?
Well, I think one of the challenges with Congressman Gibson is that his rhetoric doesn't match the record. You know, if you look at his record of voting to oppose women's health, you know, to have a 0% rating with groups like Planned Parenthood and NARAL and vote to defund Planned Parenthood, to vote to cut Medicare multiple times. You know, he now supports a budget called the Cooper-LaTourette budget, which would require deep and painful cuts to Medicare. He's someone who unfortunately has a failing record on the environment, which is obviously critical to our region. And it's not so surprising if you look at the support he receives from big oil and companies like Chevron and ExxonMobil. So I don't believe he's a moderate. I think that we need someone to represent our region who will fight for Medicare and support Medicare, who will support women's health, who will support marriage equality and LGBT equality, which Congressman Gibson does not. I think those are the values of voters in this district, and I think we can do better than we're doing right now.
And his vote for Speaker?
Well, I think he's absolutely been in lockstep with John Boehner. You know, we look at the shutdown and the fight over funding our government and the debt ceiling, and he stood with John Boehner the vast majority of the time. He even brought John Boehner to the district of Sullivan County over the summer to have a fundraiser with Speaker Boehner. You know, I don't support the values and the policies of Speaker Boehner, and unfortunately, Congressman Gibson has stood with him many times in ways that, as we're seeing, unfortunately, this fall, really have devastating consequences for our region.
Now, how do you feel about money in politics? Do you think the fair campaign financing would be the right way to go?
I think we have a very serious problem of money in politics in our country. You know, in this district last year, almost $9 million was spent. You know, people are anticipating more than a $10 million race. It's very troubling to me. It's troubling because that's far too much money for a single race. And it's troubling because what I see is that the voices of families in our region and New Yorkers are being drowned out by corporate money and special interests in Washington. And I think that really leads to a lot of these games that have nothing to do with the needs and the concerns of voters in this region and have a lot to do with party politics and special interests. I'm a strong advocate for campaign finance reform. I think Citizens United has been terrible for our country. I think we need more transparency. I think we should strengthen our limits. And I support a partial public financing system because we need to level the playing
field. What does that mean by partial?
Well, I believe in a matching system. So, you know, in the presidential system, yeah, in a primary, there's a match for small contributions that already has existed federally. Ronald Reagan ran on that system three times. I think that kind of match will elevate the voices of everyday New Yorkers and make sure that our elected officials are not beholden to a small subset of corporate PACs or very wealthy people. And this is a serious problem. You know, you look at why we have done almost nothing to address climate change. You know, we're facing serious, devastating consequences of climate change in this country. But then you look at all of this money. You look at the Koch brother pledge, which my opponent, Congressman Gibson, signed, which basically said, we will do nothing on climate change unless we create more tax cuts for big oil. So it's a connection. It's not just the problem of money in politics. It's how it relates to our tax code. It's how it relates to the environment. And in my campaign, we're going to talk about this because I think we need to bring some of these issues to the surface.
Now, I'm told, perhaps wrong, I've never seen your bank account, that you have some real money. How much of it would you be willing to spend on this election?
So right now, I'm matching contributions to my campaign. So that's what we've been doing. You know, I'm invested in this race. I've decided to not accept a single penny of corporate PAC money. You know, we have enough representatives of Wall Street and for Wall Street in Washington. We don't need another one. Unfortunately, my opponent, Congressman Gibson, is one of the largest recipients of corporate PAC money. The majority of his campaign funds this year have come from companies like Goldman Sachs and ExxonMobil. I'm not going to take a penny from corporate PACs because I'm going to stand up to big oil and big banks and Wall Street and do what's right for middle-class families in our region.
Even though you, Sean, would be an ideal recipient of your own money and could match what other people are giving, don't rich people also know other rich people?
Well, look, I think fundraising is an unfortunate, unfortunately, a big part of the political process right now.
Sure.
And we are raising the funds that we will need to have a competitive race. But I think we need campaign finance reform. We look at the numbers now and the super PACs now and what's spent. I'm very concerned. What is this going to be like in 10 years
sure.
or 20 years or 30 years? You know, what are the politics of our children and our grandchildren going to look like? This is really spiraling out of control. So we will certainly do what we need to do to be competitive and win next year. But at the same time, when I'm in Congress, I will be a loud and consistent advocate for campaign finance reform. Unfortunately, Congressman Gibson has opposed campaign finance reform, voted against it. He's not standing for these common sense solutions that would help address this issue of money in politics.
We are going to a place now where the Supreme Court of the United States has agreed to take up a bill on environment in which pollutants that cause global warming might not be as regulated as they are now. How do you feel about that?
You know, look, I think we need to do more to prevent the devastating impact of climate change. You know, one of the problems, I think, with Washington and Congress is we seem really unable to address these issues that go beyond the two-year cycle. You know, we see bickering about every 90 days, are we going to pay our bills? Are we going to keep the government open? When really there are these long-term structural challenges and opportunities we have. We need to prevent climate change. We need to invest in our infrastructure and our roads and our bridges and high-speed internet to make sure that we're competitive for the next century. We need to pass tax reform to make sure that middle-class families and small businesses have a lower rate while large corporations and the wealthiest among us pay their fair share. But these are long-term problems that we seem structurally unable to address. And I'm going to be focused on those long-term problems because, you know, I grew up with a family that invested in me, but also a country that invested in me. I went to public schools. I was given a lot from this country. I want to make sure that the next generation has the same opportunities and even more than I've had.
Sean Eldridge, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We want to make sure that everybody gets their say around here.
Thank you.